Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Hi, Clippers and Sports Nuts. Welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. Football in full effect, week two. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Prominence came out last week, so we're going to give you our take on that, as well as do some previews of the three Panini releases that are coming out tomorrow. Intrigue NBA certified football, we're going to talk about those, as well as some Prism baseball. So should be an exciting show. We got some other stuff to kind of just bounce around, some eBay auction stuff. You know, what sport would you rather collect for resale value? So we're going to go over some numbers on those. Some more top sales. You know, I feel like we're always harping on tops, but, you know, it's every week there's something new to talk about on what they did a little boo-boo on. So, Ryan, what's going on? We broke Ryan away from Grand Theft Auto 5 to come on the show. So, how's the game so far, and what are your thoughts on the GTA 5?
Game looks good. You know, if that's what you're into, is there's a lot of things you can do in that game. You can run around and shoot people and then have to run away from the cops. They have little missions and stories, and in a couple weeks, I guess, you can play online and stuff. I don't know. I remember back when it was like a Macintosh game or an Apple game or Mac. I can't remember what it was. And then it was like more primitive than like 8-bit Nintendo and stuff. That's what it started as. And you get the GTA on your little floppy disk. And it's really evolved. They spent a lot of money involved. I have stock in the company that owns the IP rights and the studio that designs the game and stuff. So I actually research it a lot. They make obviously a ton of money on it. It's one of the biggest video games out there. So I'm interested not only in the game itself, but also the business. Video games are a very dicey business, very expensive. It's a little bit like cards. You've got to blow a lot of money up front only to hope, you know, and in like any entertainment or kind of collectible where you're blowing a whole bunch of money up front to produce something, like how risky making a movie is, or even like writing a book or something if you're trying to make money on your book. Those types of things. So, I mean, you know, but the game itself is fun. If that's what you're into, if you're into like, if you don't mind, like, really, like, this raw, nasty, like, language, and it's just really, like, raw. Like, that's all I can really say about it. It's, you know, I think other video games have copied it, but this is how this franchise really has always been for quite a while, that it's kind of raunchy. This weird stuff happens. I don't know. They spend a lot of time on it, so I enjoy it.
Yeah, I remember playing, I don't know if it was PS1 or PS2, but it was like the overhead view. I remember that was my first GTA experience. It was on one of the PlayStations, like I said, can't remember. But it might have been GTA 2, I don't know. But it was an overhead, you shoot them up and get in the cars and stuff. And then I played pretty much all of them up to about the last one, and then obviously I haven't played this one yet. But before, obviously people are like, hey, let's talk about cards. On a note before we switch into cards, I mean, what do you think about, you know, a lot of us have kids out there. What do you think about letting, like, what's the lowest age you would think they could play GTA?
Oh, man. I don't know. If I had kids, I would not want them playing that game. I mean, we're talking every bad word you could think of, like raunchy, like anything you could think of is in that game. So it's a... You know, I don't know. I'm from an area that's pretty really like crime ridden and kind of hood and stuff, ghetto, if you will. So I've been exposed to that for like my whole life almost. I went to public schools and stuff. So, but I don't know. Like, if you were living prim and proper, like in Iowa or something, or Utah, I don't even think they sell this game there. I don't know, but I'm sure kids are trying to get a hand on it. But I don't know. Like, yeah, this stuff is, you know, it makes some of the rap lyrics seem really, like, tame. You know, it makes them seem like Elton John lyrics. Like, I mean, this game just, it's definitely R-rated. So, I mean, naked titties and stuff, show titties and stuff, like animated titties, obviously. So it's
working.
Porn websites. You could go to porn websites. You could do all this stuff. Like it's pretty. And I've only played it for like 30 minutes, and I've seen all these things. I was like, wow, I go to the strip club and make it rain and all that stuff. It's a fantasy land. It's definitely a fantasy game.
All right, well, guys out there, I'm going to go ahead and cancel the show. I'm going to go pick up a GTA 5 copy now. So sorry. No, I'm just kidding. You sold me on it. I think what it is with them too is that they've done, and once again, you know, it's off the topic of sports cards, but they've kind of like made their mark with the other games, and now they have to keep outdoing themselves. So I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they start getting more attention on some of these games. But I mean, most parents, like if you're letting your 16-year-old play, you know, there's worse stuff out there. There's worse stuff on TV. I mean, I don't know. It's a very touchy subject, but. Speaking about touchy subjects and the St. Louis Rams, you got Dan on the line. How does it feel to lose to the Cardinals?
You mean the Falcons?
The Falcons. Big team. You lost to the Falcons this weekend. How does that feel? Steven Jackson.
You got to do some research, son. Can't just come out here and say the Cardinals. That was week one. No, we were down three touchdowns at halftime. Came back, made a game of it. I mean, come on, Falcons are a good team. Should we be talking about the Niners getting whooped on by Seattle? Now that shows you what the team to beat in the NFC West is obviously the Seahawks.
The Niners played. I thought we were on a bye week. I didn't even.
It looked like it.
We had a week to bye.
Looked like it.
I set you up for that one. I literally put such a little soft little Barry Zito 12-6er on that one. But
yeah, nobody came out to play for the 49ers.
Oh man, that was a rough game. I mean, people, you know, Kaepernick had to shave the eyebrow digitally for Madden, but you know, it was that sound. I mean, it was just too loud in that stadium. I don't think anybody's going to beat the Seahawks in Seattle this year. I don't care. I mean, it's going to be extremely hard to win that in that stadium.
So that's the problem. That's why they lost. The crowd was too loud.
You can't make plays. You can't audible.
Nothing to do with execution or anything like that. Nothing. Just the crowd was too loud. Sorry.
Yeah,
no game plan. No nothing.
10% execution. 10% execution. 90% crowd noise.
Niner fans love them.
You're used to it from a Niner fan here.
Excuses all day long.
But there were some good games out there. It was football's back like Christmas. It's just, you know, 17 weeks of Christmas, and then you got the playoffs and Super Bowl. So it's, you know, it's like 23 weeks of Christmas. But it's been an exciting couple, you know, weeks of football. There were some great games. There's some, you know, rookies emerging, which has been great. There's this weekend even a few more. Giovanni Bernard had two touchdowns last night. Jordan Reed's kind of stepping up. EJ Manuel pulled off his first win, and he cried about it because he's so excited. Humble dude. I like EJ Manuel. Robert Woods had a touchdown last week, week one, actually. Tyler Eifert looked good yesterday. Andre Ellington. So what's wrong with this 2013 rookie class? You know, there's nothing. There's these guys coming out and playing.
Tavon had two touchdowns as well.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I forgot about him.
Just give you a heads up. You know,
yeah, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Guy.
DeAndre Hopkins had a game. That guy, who did he play for again?
Texans.
Who?
Texans.
Tavon Austin. Who does he play for again?
Fighting Rams.
Was that game even on TV? Like, or is that radio only? Like, DirecTV, they canceled that game out, right?
Yeah. I actually didn't even watch any football this week. Because I was in Ryan's neck of the woods in Sacramento area watching a little metal festival they had going on over the weekend. It like Discovery Park, maybe in Sacramento, if that's what it's called. I think that's what it's called. But,
You don't even remember where it was, so
it was a hell of a time, I gotta say. No, it was some good bands, some new bands, some washed up bands, but overall it's pretty solid. Big ass venue though, probably like 20,000 people there.
How was One Direction over the weekend?
Yeah, One Direction was pretty good. It was One Direction. It was 98 degrees. Let's see, All for One was there. Got to get the R&B slow jams going on. There's some heavy hitters there for sure.
Yeah, I think Ricky Martin headlined too. I mean, wow, it was a crazy show. I can't believe you made it out there. There got tickets.
No, it was Sugar Ray was the headliner.
Every morning, baby. Every morning.
Oh,
Sugar Ray and the Goo Goo Dolls.
Smash Mouth. Why don't you just slide? You know exactly. Back to football talk. Everybody's like, "What are you guys naming all these bands?" Yeah, Enrique Iglesias, Trevor. That's a good one. That was one of my favorites growing up. I know some crazy scores. Chicago pulled one out. Jay Cutler. Houston pulled one out at the end of the game with the rookie DeAndre Hopkins catching the game-winning pass. Kansas City. Alex Smith is 2-0. Kansas City won two games last year. They already have two games won this year. It's insane. Kansas City looking like an instant favorite in that division besides, you know, obviously Denver. But crazy week of football, man. Never know.
I was going to say, San Diego has, like, blown two pretty big leads in back-to-back weeks. They were up by, like, two or three touchdowns this week again, and they blew it.
Yeah, they –
They beat Philly, 33-30.
Yeah.
Oh, but Philly came back, though. So they got close to losing.
I
left and I was just watching it on my phone. I was trying to watch it on my phone. And it looked like they were blowing a pretty substantial lead that they built up.
Yeah. They it was a good game. I mean, Philip Rivers kind of looked like Philip Rivers from 3 years ago. Eddie Royal looked like Calvin Johnson out there. Two touchdowns, like 100 yards. Everybody's picking him up on a fantasy because he's a flavor of the month. Flavor of the week right now. And speaking of that DirecTV app, which is, you know, just going a little bit of a tangent, I have the DirecTV app on my phone, and I was watching games. I watched games for about 6 hours on my phone through the 4G. I went over 10 gigabytes, and they charged me like 3 times for watching games on my phone, yeah. That's a money grab. That's a little money grab situation. I think they talked to AT&T. They're like, you know what, we're going to just rape on data charges. So I'm like, I don't think I'm going to do that anymore unless I'm connected to the Wi-Fi. So
don't watch it. Don't watch it on your phone.
Well, I'm out and about, man. You know, I'm mobile. I'm doing shopping. I'm getting some new shoes. I'm out watching soccer games and stuff. And I got the game going. That's just, and I got it in my ear too. So
Well, 10 gigs, man. That's going to be might cost you like $150. $150.
No, my plan for the month is 10 gigs, and then they charge for every gig after that. So I went over my 10 gigs for the month. I have like four days remaining, and then I went over 2 gigs on top of that, so it's going to be like an extra $20.
Nice.
So my Sunday of football was like $20 before even beer or food.
That's not bad. Well, Niners got boat raced. There's just no way around that.
No way around the boat race.
So what's going on in sports cards?
Sports cards, a lot of stuff coming out. Tops came out and announced 2014 Bowman, and they're bringing back the first Bowman logo. I'm excited. I want to clap for that. That was a good move.
That's cool.
They have the first Bowman.
You know what? At the little meet and greet at the national convention, somebody asked them that what happened with that, and they said, oh, yeah, we'll bring it back. And the funny thing is, and I think they asked them, well, why did you take it away in the first place? The guy said that it was like it caused confusion. That people were I was like, what's the confusion about? It sounded like it was actually internal confusion because they couldn't keep track of who they couldn't like even create just an Excel spreadsheet alphabetical by per player and what year they were in Bowman. They couldn't even do that. That they couldn't even keep track of like who had been in Bowman before. And so they took it off.
Huh.
And then sometimes they duplicated it, like he was in Bowman draft and then he was in Bowman and I don't know what instance that happened, but he said that had happened before. So, but they're bringing it back now. It's like, just do an Excel sheet. Everybody that's been in Bowman, you don't have to go all the way back in the day. You can just work off your recent checklist. Your last probably 2-3 years, copy paste, put it alphabetical order. What set it was done. Boom. Open it up when you get the new set comes out.
Pretty well, you know, simple. What's retarded about that? They don't even need that. They could just go on eBay and say, okay, it has Chris Bryant, eBay.com. Okay, well, we had one already. It's his first Bowman. Boom, I'm going to erase that from my Photoshop. Simple as that. My thought at first was maybe they were thinking, you know, because the Inceptions, they don't sell it. Let's face it, the first Bowman auto sells the best. So if you're like, I was looking to buy the best possible Buster Posey auto. I had to go to Bowman Draft from 2008 because that's his first one. It sells for the most. It's worth the most. Everyone after that is devalued. So maybe I thought at first maybe their point of doing getting rid of the first Bowman was that maybe people see it come out again, they won't. It'll still be high on the secondary market because there won't be any first Bowman logo on there. That's what I thought, but it sounds like it was more of a we can't keep track type of thing than anything else.
Right. So I don't know. Good that it's coming back. What else is happening, Doug, in the sports card world?
Well, we talked kind of briefly about the top reprints shenanigans last week. When in the first couple breaks of Tier 1, we pulled a Hamilton, Josh Hamilton rookie reprint redemption, and it said clearly rookie reprint. With Hamilton, it's confusing because the guy likes to do blow. He was originally with the Rays. He did blow. He wasn't in the league. Then he was with the Reds. So he was technically a rookie for both teams, so that wasn't a clear cut. So we messaged back and forth from Topps to make a long story short. That card, if you listen to last week's show, that card wound up going to the Rangers, which is completely weird because he obviously was not a rookie with the Rangers. He was a rookie with the Reds and Rays. Okay, fast forward to last Friday. I'm doing another Tier 1 case break. We pull a Reggie Jackson, clear rookie, and let me just focus on the rookie part of it, reprint auto redemption. The guys in the room, everybody says A's. I'm like, yeah, that's A's. Everybody knows Mr. October started with the A's. I believe it was Kansas City A's back then. But I said, wait, you know, I got to look on the checklist because just in case. So we go to the checklist. It's the Yankees. A's owner is pissed. So, but on the checklist, it says top clear reprint auto. It does not include the word rookie. But on the redemption itself, it says rookie. So they screwed up. They put rookie on the redemption. The card itself is not a rookie. Those are the only two subjects that I can see on the reprint list that are going to cause confusion. And, of course, they're both redemptions. So it's just another fail by them where they need to not put rookie or make, you know, they don't realize that people may be buying it as A's collectors. Josh Hamilton, Rays collectors may be buying it. Maybe not so much for the Josh Hamilton as much as for the Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson people want his rookie reprint on the A's. So there's going to be some falsified eBay listings or some of these guys are going to buy this card expecting it to be an A's card. It's not. So it's just they need to figure out these little tiny details that they're leaving out and they're messing up on. I don't know what's going on, but it sucks to hear the guy on the, you know, had the A's in our break. He's all excited, and it's like, nope, it's not for you. It's for the Yankees. I mean, it's a letdown. You would automatically assume it would be an A's card. So,
I guess at this point it could have been an Angels card too, or like an Orioles card.
Yeah. Could have been could have been a no team. You could have just been sitting there signing jerseys at the National and just have a reprint on auto. I mean, at this point, we have no idea.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. I mean, they should have just put, like, clear reprint. It was their fault for putting the rookie in there, and that's what made it confusing for everybody.
Yeah. And they've had some mess-ups lately, and, you know, I hate to harp on it, but I guess when you see so many of their cards, it really kind of, these errors kind of come to fruition. So, I wanted to share some of my, we talked about buybacks last week, and I tried to buy that product. It was a S-Bay Superbox Touchdown 2013 edition football. Retails for about $120 to $130. It's anywhere from 1 to 5 cards, and it's all football, like it said. So I got one box, tried it. I pulled a 2012 Magic autograph of Colin Kaepernick, graded a 9.5. So I got basically a $90 card for a $120 box. So, and that's pretty good. So I know it's a small sample size, but that's kind of my reporting on that product. I mean, I know there's some people that have gotten some dud boxes, but, I mean, I'm a Kaepernick fan, so that pleased me. We're going to be doing some other buyback products just to kind of give you guys reviews and stuff like that on those and see what kind of value comes out of some of these boxes. So it really does add value to different breaks. And we've thrown in a few buyback products in with other like a one box and one of our 5-box mixers to see what, you know, comes out of that. We also did 2013 Leafs Best of Baseball last week. We did 2 cases. And they're both are pretty decent. The first case we got, I think, Dan, you opened, 2 boxes. What did you get out of there, Dan?
Oh, man. That was, feels like a long time ago. What did we get? Oh, we got that.
Well, you got
Schmidt.
Yeah.
We got the Mike Schmidt.
Schmidt
that was out of Triple Threads. It was a 3/3 at Relic auto. And then we got a
graded at 9.5. It was graded at 9.5, right?
Yeah. Graded at 9.5. And then we got a mantle. I forgot what year was it, like 64.
It was a
66, or something.
66 mantle. 66. And I believe it was a 7 PSA 7, 66 mantle.
Yeah. PSA 7.
So we looked it up. So that was about a $350 card. So we didn't do bad there. The Mike Schmidt, I couldn't find the value on, but I'd have to say maybe a 170. So, and then the last card was an Albert Pujols 2001 Upper Deck base card, not autographed, graded 9.5, which is about a $60 card. So we didn't do too bad there. I mean, the case cost us like $650, $700, so we didn't get our money back, but it was at least a 70, 80% around that. And then in the second case of Leaf Best of, we got don't remember the year, but it was 2002 Upper Deck Mark McGwire, auto to 49 with a little jersey piece, graded a 9, which we were bummed out when we pulled it, but we looked it up and it sells for about 180, so it's really shocking that Mark McGwire sells that well. And then we got a 99 Swing for the Fences on card auto of Ken Griffey Jr., graded a 9, and that's like not graded, it sells for like 90, and it's a very hard pull. So it's probably about a $200 card. And then the last one, we got like a 66 or 67 Pete Rose. Obviously not a rookie, but a PSA 7. So that's like a $40 card. So he does pretty good on putting value in there. Rich, I think, hit like a Koufax PSA 8 rookie card out of his, which is like a $40.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow.
So he hit one of the chase cards in his box. So he did pretty well. But Leaf always does a good job of that. There's more and more of these buyback companies coming in to the hobby. So want to try them out and, you know, let you guys know what we get and see if it's worth, you know, trying it out. So, I mean, they do handpick these cards, so there's value in pretty much every box. You're not going to get Agnew or a Cleaner, even though Cleaner actually has been doing decent this year. So, but I don't know what your guys' experience is. I mean, I know Dan's experience You know, it's hard to tell, you know, on the subject of grading. I mean, what do you think, Ryan, what are your thoughts on, I mean, what are your experiences with grading cards or selling graded cards, and what do you think about grading cards in general?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, they grade comic books, they grade coins, they grade, you know, cars, they grade currency. I mean, you know, on and down the line. They grade, you know, what is Miss America? You know, it's just,
right.
you know, you're kind of, what are the little kid, you know, the little six-year-old beauty pageants, or the dog shows, the Westminster dog show. We're essentially the Oscars. We're always doing that. We're always kind of ranking each other. It's kind of an American way of doing things, or maybe even other people too. But I don't have a problem with it. Here's the thing with grading. If it's an older card, a vintage card like that Pete Rose or the Koufax or the Mickey Mantle, go with PSA, okay? If it's a newer card, you know, a LeBron James, a Kobe, Ken Griffey Jr. or something like that, go with BGS. It's just that's kind of, and there's all these like little, the thing that I don't like about the grading industry, there's all these little, I won't call them stupid, card grading companies that have no business being in the industry. They're,
right.
It's a joke. Like, I could start one and just grade cards out of, you know, and they hurt the value of stuff because it fools people. People think, oh, I got a graded card. But it's a golden graded card company or whatever, 10. Oh, wow. It actually makes the card worth less. I've seen people
right.
they get suckered into these, oh, I'll grade your cards for $2 or whatever. Send me 10 cards and it'll only be $3 each. And people think, oh, great. All you're buying is a card holder, and you might actually be devaluing the card. So if you're going to grade cards, do it right. Spend the money. Look at your cards closely. They're going to dissect everything about the card. If there's anything wrong with it, you know, you know, with vintage cards, you have more room to play with because you're not going to get a 9 or a 10. But a PSA 7 like that Mickey Mantle and the Pete Rose, that's a really good score. Anything 7 and up, that's really good. Some of this newer stuff, you got to be getting 9 to 9.5. You don't want an 8.5. You don't even, or less on some of these newer cards. So unless it's a really condition sensitive set, it's PSA, BGS. I know SCG or whatever does some stuff too. I wouldn't even bother with them. They're okay
right.
to use, but if you really like, you really care about, you know, if you're going to the steps to grade your cards, you maybe want to sell it one day, or you care about its value. At the very least, and you care about its condition, do the right thing and spend the extra money. Sometimes they run specials. You know, I would try to send in as many as you can at one time. But you have to really look your cards over carefully. I don't think they want you to send them in top loaders either. They want you to send them in the little Card Saver 2s or actually Card Saver 1s are the best.
Yeah, you can actually buy them. I bought them from the distributor, but the box I buy says graded card submission semi-rigid card holder.
There it is. Yeah.
So
yeah. You want to do that, and I think it's cool. I think it's fine because there's everything. Some people they take offense to it or whatever. I don't have a problem with it. We grade everything else in life. People go goo-goo over when the Oscars and Grammy Awards and shit come out. It's like, so what? You're grading, you know, so what? I don't really care. Whereas this actually, I'd rather have a really nice Mickey Mantle than a crinkled up Mickey Mantle. So I think there
right.
is value as long as PSA and BGS, and those are the two companies that seem like, and not, it's not like they don't make mistakes. God, I heard of two or three mistakes just at the national show. Was there grading cards that they shouldn't even be grading, that aren't even authentic, or that got trimmed or whatever, didn't even have the right autograph on it. So, but if they're your own cards that you've got, you've pulled, whatever, you can feel safe to send them in. You're going to get them back, and they make you insure the shipping and all this stuff. So just do PSA, BGS, that's it. Leave. Even if it's like they'll grade your cards for free, don't even send it to them because you're going to lower the value of your cards. if you send it to some, you know, third world grading card company. So I don't know why they don't partner up with you guys. See, PSA and BGS should actually call you guys on the phone, because customers could immediately be like, oh yeah, I want to grade that card. And then you could send it in for them, they send it back to you, and then you do the shipping from there. So I don't know why they don't, you know, partner with you guys, because you guys are the ones that have access to a lot of the cards and Daiwa cards that might want to get graded. So I don't know if they've ever approached you guys or what's up with that.
They've wanted us to, offer us at this price, and we sell it for this price. And, you know, we've thought about, I mean, we don't really want to make money on the grading, but that's how they approached us. We've done it for customers at times, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, I actually send it in my cards maybe every 2 or 3 months. I get like 10 of them together, and I should send more, but I send about 10 of them in. So usually I'll have a customer's card in there with them. The problem I have, and you know, I don't know if there's any way, I'd like to contact BGS. Putting them in those sets, so most of my cards, I have them in regular top loaders or a magnetic, you know, for some of the higher-end cards. Transferring them into that graded submission sleeve always worries me, because I have to take it out of the top loader. And on their website, I might be wrong, but I don't think they even want it in a penny sleeve. So trying to get it in the graded, the rigid card sleeves are very kind of sticky. So you're trying to put the card in there and get it all the way into this rigid sleeve, and it's really hard to put it in there, and you almost think that you're damaging the card by pushing it in there. So I don't know if there's a technique to get a card in there better. And then if you're sending in like a 180-point card, like something from National Treasures or, you know, they won't even fit in those. So what do you do there? So there's some questions. You know, maybe we can get somebody from BGS on here and kind of explain. Now, I know, like you said, they do want them in the ridges, and then they do want them cardboarded and taped around the cardboard so that the card will not bend in any case, and then shipped in a box so that there's no room for any kind of error or movement.
Right. You could cut the plastic before you put the card in there. Cut the plastic, almost open it, have it open up like a little book, and then place it in between two pieces of plastic and put it in, I don't know, a bunch of a graded card holder, team bag thing or whatever like that. Because I know what you're talking about. You're trying to slide, jam the card down in, and especially if it's a thicker card, you're going to have to touch the top. You might be putting an indent on the top. You might be messing up at the corners. You could do a number of different things. I could see cutting those little things open a little bit so that it kind of opens up, put the card in, put the plastic. I guess you could even use just regular Scotch tape, because what BGS is going to do, they're actually going to physically cut the card. They're going to cut it open. I think that's how they do it.
Right.
They cut those. That's why they don't want you to use top loaders, because they scissor it open, open it up, and then they, you know, look at it and do all the things that they do with it. So I could see something like that.
They're not touching the card that way. So that's why they have you send it in a graded submission.
Right.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I've been sending in a lot of cards, and honestly, I almost do it for the aspect. I try to look at my cards first, and I'm obviously not going to send an off-centered or a ding corner, but I honestly like having a shoebox, and they make larger shoeboxes for graded cards. Obviously, that's the cheaper route. You can get one of those for $5 or $6. You can probably get some kind of nice custom case. But I have a graded card shoebox. It's two rows, and it fits about 40 in each row, as long as they're, you know, not thick ones. And I just like looking at my cards in one of those graded cards. I like the way that the BGS cards look. I just do. So any of my cards, I send them in there, or I'll buy them that way. If I'm really looking for a Buster Posey, I'll spend more money to get something that's graded. So I just think, and then I've also heard that some guy had a flood and in his basement where his cards were, and his BGS slabs were floating, and they didn't get damaged.
There we go.
So I wouldn't test it on your own. I wouldn't go throw your graded cards in a puddle or anything, but I've heard that, you know, they keep them pretty encapsulated, so.
Yep.
So, and you know, down the line, look at some of the higher priced Babe Ruth cards. They're selling, you know, a BGS or a PSA 8 Babe Ruth can get you $1,500 more than one that's not graded, or even more. So I don't know if that's going to happen with the modern cards fast forward 50 years from now, but, you know, I plan on keeping mine forever or giving them to my kids if I have kids or whatnot, and, you know, they're graded, and I got a lot of 9.5, so we'll see.
There we go.
Yeah, it's an interesting little game. It's like, how do you decide what to grade, what not to grade? Some people say don't grade 101s. Some people say don't even grade number to 10s, but what I have noticed when I've sent in, because I have a lot of prospect cards, so I'll send in, like, I just sent in a Joey Gallo Gold Refractor Auto, and I've noticed on the lower print run stuff, I'm more apt to get a 9.5, because I think there's less to compare it to, rather than just sending in a regular auto that's not numbered, they'll grade it lower every time. It seems like every time I send in, I've sent in 2 1-of-1s, and I've got 9.5s on both of them. I had a Super Fractor Ike Davis and a Atomic 1-of-1 of Michael Wacha, and I got a 9.5 on both of them. So it's, and then I've seen a lot of Super Fractors on eBay that have been 9.5s or 10s. I wonder if they're like, okay, there's only one card, we're going to give it a higher grade. I wonder if that's their thought process.
How many, like, well, since you have, like, 40, how many 10s do you have? Do you have
none.
Any?
None?
No. Wow.
None.
Crazy.
So I have a decent amount of 9.5s, but no 10s.
Huh.
Yes. Those are, they don't give those out for nothing.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, I'm like, if you have like a Bowman Chrome auto of just some guy, like just say base auto, you're probably never gonna. I mean, especially since it's on card, it's been touched. Probably never gonna get a 10 with those. Those are probably super rare to get any kind of like on card auto that gets a perfect 10.
Yeah, it's the surface grade that kills you a lot of the on-card autos because maybe the guy, you know, scratched it with his fingernail as he's signing or, you know, yeah. So it, and then also, if you have a 9.5, you get more money if all your subs are 9.5. Usually when you get a 9.5 grade, you have like 2 9.5s and 2 9s or 2 or 3 9.5s and a 9. It's very rare that if you get a 9.5 grade overall, that all your subgrades are 9.5.
Right.
Yeah. But how do they work that average out? Some variables weigh differently on the average. Like
as a general rule, so let's say you get a card. Here's how it can really work against you. If you have a card that's a 9, it gets a 9.5, 9.5, 9.5, but gets like an 8 on the surface, they never like to grade it. This is what BGS says. They never like to grade it over 0.5 over the lowest score. So if you have a 9.5, 9.5, 9.5, 8, it's going to be an 8.5. It's not going to be a 9. That's how they. That's just their way of thinking. I don't know how
because I've always thought about that because I'm like, I've seen that. I've seen like a 9.5, 9.5, 9.5, 8, and it gets an 8.5, and I'm like, well, that's not the average. I mean, that should be a 9.
Right.
At least.
Not a true average. The guy said we don't like to go, you know, if it gets an 8, if it gets an 8 on any of the four categories, it's going to be really hard for it to be a 9. I mean, unless it maybe got some 10 somewhere. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. You really have to look over your entire card, the centering, the corners, the edges, and then the surface itself, which can be a little tricky. Sometimes it's a printing flaw. Sometimes it's not even like, you know, you didn't even touch it, or, you know, it's just fresh out of the pack. You didn't touch it. Straight into the thing, you know, you wore like white Michael Jackson white gloves, and you know, you didn't even touch it. But the fact that there's these red dots on it, or a printing line, or the refractor thing screwed up, and boom, you're going to get dinged. So it's a I'm sure there's people, collectors out there that are really good at spotting cards. And somebody like Brian Gray, I bet he's really good at it because he buys these cards and then he gets a deal with Beckett and gets them all graded. So he's really good probably looking at cards and like, okay, this is good.
And that shed some light on my experience because I may have told both of you this, but I'll share it with the listeners. I'm a Bonds guy. You know, boo me now, send me hate mail. I'm a Bonds guy. I'm Barry Bonds, my favorite player growing up. Always has been, always will, you know, regardless of his, you know, what's going down with him. So I bought a Topps Tiffany 86, which is his most coveted rookie card. The Topps Tiffany were a glossy set that were kind of made not as much. There wasn't a big production run. It was a very costly set. So I bought one for, I think, $90, ungraded. It looked pretty good in my opinion. It looked very centered and everything. I sent it in. I got a 9.5 on edges. I got a 9.5 on corners. I got a 9 on centering. And I got a 4 on surface.
Ooh.
So my overall grade was a 5. 5 overall grade.
Wow.
So I'm thinking to myself, I did the math. I added all 4 of those together, and I divided it by 4, and I came up with a 7.5. So I'm like, so that makes sense to me now is that they gave me a 4 surface. That's why it's a 5 overall.
Right.
And looking back on it now, I've never owned one Topps Tiffany card. So the only thing I can see is that it looks like it may be faded compared to some of the other cards I can see that aren't in person on eBay, that it looks like it maybe got faded. So at one point in the owner's history or whoever owned this before maybe had it under like a light too close and it faded. So I think that's why I got a bad surface grade. But at a 5, it's worth less than I paid for it. So, you know, I'm not going to sell it because it's a Barry Bonds Tiffany and it's going to be part of my collection, but it really sucks. You know, the occasional time that I go through my graded cards and I look at them and I see a 5, I'm like, oh, that sucks. So,
I bought a Barry Bonds autograph the other day. It's really nice. Really nice.
Oh, really? Out of which set?
I think it's 2001 Topps or something on card. It's fucking really nice, actually. I just got it the other day. Very nice.
How much did that set you back?
I paid over $100 for it. They probably sell for less on eBay. You might be able to get one for $80-$90 on eBay. But I had money on check on my cards. I've sold so many cards on there that I might as well buy some nice stuff. I got a Buster Posey Triple Threads autograph from 2012 or something, maybe. My brother bought an AJ Green Contenders rookie autograph. Bought it really
nice.
Well in the off season for like $38 or something. I think they sell for a little bit.
That's a good deal.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I think they sell for maybe like 50 on eBay or 60 maybe. I don't know. He's done well a lot so far this season, so maybe they're a little more than that. But I like to buy football in the off season, and then we're keeping that one. But you know, you could always buy in the off season and sell in the regular season if you're sure on the guy. So there's my collection update. That was the collection update hour right there.
There you go. You know, that's a good little segment. I'll kind of update some of mine, actually, now that you mention it. That's a good idea. We should talk about that more often. I actually want to do a YouTube video of my collection. I recently got a Upper Deck BGF 9.5 of Griffey from the 89. I got it for like $130 on eBay. So I got that. I got a Dougie Martin BGF 9.5 Contenders Auto for like $90, I think. So I try to buy all these graded cards, and I think I just won. I put a last second bid on a Greg Maddux Topps Tiffany rookie card graded 9. I got for like $17. It's like the wood Topps Tiffany. So I don't know if it's the highest price Greg Maddux you can get. I haven't done a whole lot of research on Greg Maddux rookie card, but you know, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. So actually, did he get voted in already? Was that this year?
I think he did. Maybe.
No, I think he's eligible with all the guys from the Braves back in the day.
Next year, I think the next year's Glavin, Maddux.
Smoltz, Glavin, Maddux, and Oh, there was somebody else too who may actually not get in this year. I mean, we know that Barry's not going to get in this year. It's gonna be a couple years down the road for Bonds to get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a little while.
Yeah, but I think it's Maddux. Maddux is who is it? It's not Griffey, but there is somebody else who will probably make it.
He didn't get voted in last year, so he'll probably get in this year. It'll probably be Maddux at the very least.
Yeah, he got pretty damn close. They only usually vote like two guys in, right? Very rarely you see three,
right,
in a year.
And so once again, it's gonna be Glavin or it's gonna be Maddux and BGO this year. It's a complete absolute slap in the face that Barry Bonds is not a first ballot, and he's not even gonna be a second ballot because of this class. Say what you will about steroid use or whatever. But somebody that's the home run king documented on stats and that has the most home runs in 1 year and won countless MVPs, countless silver sluggers, the only guy that has 500 home runs, 500 stolen bases, and the guy's on a first ballot is an absolute – it's just laughable. It's laughable, and that's all I'll say about that.
I think seven MVPs?
Yeah, seven. And the only guy that won three back-to-back MVPs, I believe, in history.
Yeah, Bonds is great. I mean, he was great, but it's just kind of the sign of the times. A lot of those guys should be Hall of Famers, but they're not going to be. And Bonds, it'll probably be 5, 6, 7 years of him being eligible before he starts getting enough votes to where he even gets close.
Right.
And I mean, we've talked about this. Pete Rose won't get in. He won't get in, but I can guarantee you. I mean, the year after Pete Rose passes away, they'll let him into the Hall of Fame, which is ridiculous.
That's another laughable situation. That there's people that are getting snubbed for steroid use, and Pete Rose just bet on baseball. It's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, you get a view that. That may be worse than doing steroids. I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, that's one of the big no-nos in baseball.
It sounds more like the Character Hall of Fame and not the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's more, you know, the Character Hall of Fame. You've got to kiss writers' ass and media's ass and the Hall of Fame committee's ass to get into this thing where. If you could play ball, like if I was drafting a team, probably Barry Bonds and Pete Rose would probably be on that team, starting. Bonds,
absolutely.
Right, too. I mean, those are two guys you'd want on your team. You could have Rose probably hitting second, and then you could have Bonds hitting 3 through 5. I mean, you know, those are two guys. So I don't know about the Character Hall of Fame. I think they should stay away from that because – I actually think in many years down the line, 40, 50, I think everybody will be taking some sort of, maybe not a steroid, but some sort of performance enhancing. And I'm talking about across the board that, you know, especially in the United States, like the United States consumes like so much drugs, like so many pills.
Yeah.
They have pills for this and Botox and da, 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 and do all this stuff. That's why I don't understand why people, you know, clown on Barry Bonds, but, you know, how many sets of fake tits got inserted today? You know, isn't that performance enhancing? Could you get a better job and get paid more if you had, you know what I'm saying? So it's very competitive what they're doing, professional sports. So I just think the Hall of Fame, it shouldn't be the Character Hall of Fame. It should be, can you ball or can you not? Because there's a lot of guys that could take steroids and not do what Barry Bonds did, not do what some of these guys did. Sure, it helped them, but somebody like Bonds was already great. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he was already a great player. Everybody already acknowledged he was better than Griffey. Like, come on. I mean, Griffey always got hurt. Griffey should have took drugs, you know? If he really,
probably would have
recovered
faster.
About it.
Yeah, he might have recovered faster. He would have been a better player. I mean, he would have flamed out just as quick, too. It sounded like he had kind of a weak body, and he was more of a natural baseball player. Bonds was a natural baseball player, too. He just, you know, he worked hard, and he took drugs when he saw what Sammy and Mark McGwire were doing. And Bonds was taking the best drugs. That's the fight. I mean, he was out here on the West Coast, and you had that guy who was, say what you want about him, he had the best steroids at the moment. Look at Marion Jones. Look at the other people who was taking that stuff. I mean, they all, like, shot through the roof and was setting records. So I don't really have a problem with it because I think in 50 years we'll all be taking something to help
and
you get stronger.
That's what people don't remember, though, either about the Bonds era, is that it wasn't illegal then. They weren't testing for that.
Right.
Yeah, and he had a trainer that, you know, obviously contacted Balco, and we all know the Balco scandal, so we don't need to go into it. But if I'm a millionaire athlete and I'm paying a trainer $200,000 to basically tell me what to eat, what to take, how to work out, and he says, hey, take this, are you going to go, well, what's in it? Does it have this? Is it a banned substance? Are you going to ask him? You're going to go, no, I'm paying you $200,000 for you to do the research. I'm going to take it. Because it can help me work out and it can help me recover faster. And that's what a lot of people maybe don't realize about steroids is that it didn't make – all it did was make him recover faster. He could bench 300 one day and he doesn't have what's called DOMS, which is delayed onset muscle soreness. And you usually have to wait 2 to 3 more days to lift weights again if you have delayed onset muscle soreness. Bond could literally lift 350 pounds, bench, you know, 4 sets of 300, and then the next day he could lift 300 again because he did not have the muscle soreness because the steroid use made his muscles recover faster. It's not like he was just sitting on the sideline shooting up these drugs and it was making him hit the ball. No, it was making him work out more efficiently. That's all steroids is. It makes you work out more efficiently. So it's
well. There's been studies though that it does help your eyesight. Which, if you're playing baseball and there's a 95 mile an hour fastball coming in, you know, improving your eyesight is going to make a big difference.
But so does Red Bull probably.
Maybe.
So does Rockstar. You know what I'm saying? Take a caffeine pill. I mean, are they going to start saying that you can't take Red Bull now because it's going? There's some guys that can't drink it or something, and they can't take
how,
Red Bull. And,
how long? How long were guys before the Bonds era were taking greenies and they were basically doing, I mean, amphetamines. And
right.
That was everybody did that. So, but I mean, I don't know. There's just a lot more money in it now. And I mean, it's under the microscope all the time. So,
and it's social media. I mean, Bonds, obviously there wasn't social media back then, but there's reporters. You look back, and I was watching which is a great series, if you haven't watched it out there, the PBS Baseball. It's a 3-hour, there's 9 episodes. It's inning 1, inning 2, inning 3. It's about 2 hours each episode, and it starts in the 1800s of how baseball got started and, you know, basically farm workers starting baseball teams and competing against other cities and stuff. Well, there's a story about Cobb on how much of an a-hole he was, and he literally, there was one game where Cobb was sitting there, and there was people – he was in another city, and there was a fan that was razzing him who was disabled, who basically lost his leg, both of his legs, and I don't know, military duty or something, and was saying, you can't hit – Cobb literally jumped in the stands and pummeled him and beat the shit out of this guy who was disabled because he talked crap about him. But we don't talk about Cobb. He's an American hero. You know what I'm saying? So it just shows you the different type of times and what were these guys doing. I mean, Babe Ruth had millions of women hanging off of him. You can't tell me he wasn't doing some kind of drugs on the off time with these girls and trying to stay up and please all these 100 women that wanted a piece of the Babe. And, you know, there was all kinds of stuff going on back in the day, but we don't talk about it because there was no social media. There was no documentation as much as there is now.
Well, with all the media and all the social media and all that stuff, imagine if something like that Cobb story, imagine if something like that happened today.
Right.
There would not be one, I mean, you would literally not be able to get away from it. It would be 24 hours a day on ESPN, 24 hours a day on CNN, Fox News. Everybody would be talking about it constantly. You would just never be able to get away from it. And something like that can happen back in the day. It just kind of gets swept under the rug. Nobody even knows about it. People go on with their life. It's just imagine
right.
if something like that happened today. It'd be nuts.
If Matt Holliday jumped in and like slapped a woman in the face or something for calling him a name, he would get banned from baseball like immediately and you know have to pay back his salary and you know not be able to show his face in the community ever again.
Well, who is the? I mean, this is just to put it in perspective. Who is that scrub Rays prospect guy that we were talking about? Who is that? Like a strip club or something? Getting bad. We talked about it on like
Josh Sale
10 episodes ago. Josh Sale, right?
Josh Sale. Yeah.
That guy even got media attention, and nobody knows who he is.
Right.
I mean, he's like a washed up single A guy. Who's never been? I don't think he's ever been higher than single A, and that got media attention.
Yeah, well,
I mean that was
Trevor
that,
brings
that
up
was
a,
on.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was on. Yeah, that was on ESPN. All these major websites.
Yeah, that was on. Yeah, I remember reading that on like Yahoo on like the main page.
Yeah.
So I mean,
and Trevor
I mean,
brings
even
up a good
guys,
point about the. The NBA fight, that got a lot of attention, and I don't remember the punishment for Steven Jackson and those guys in Indiana, but I want to say that was
like over half a season that he was suspended for.
Yeah,
I think at that point I think they were near the All-Star break, and I think he got suspended for the full season.
Yeah,
and then that was I mean that run our test. I mean, that was a big deal. I mean, that definitely got a lot of media coverage. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't
and that was
get away.
Lightly before Facebook. I mean, that might have been probably MySpace days.
That was MySpace era of social media. You know, a little bit after Friendster, but it was MySpace.
It was a little after AOL.
Whatever happened to AOL? Friendster.
I don't know. Friendster.
Didn't really take off.
Had a good name.
Bringing it back.
Well, I wanted to move into the review segment, and we only have one product to review, and it came out last week. It's 2013 Prominence. And I just want to start off by apologizing for what we're going to say here, because I do love Panini. I think they do a great job on products. I like all the guys at Panini, but they really missed the mark with Prominence. I really don't know what they were trying to achieve. Being that Certified is coming out this week, they have a release 1 week before Certified. Prominence wasn't great last year, but this year's Prominence makes last year's Prominence look like NT. I don't know what they did. They changed the configuration to make it more card shop friendly. Instead of being one pack with 9 cards and 3 hits, it's now 3 mini boxes with 1 hit in each one at a SRP of 120. So rookie class was there, but they made it really hard to get any of the marquee names. They added a lot more 7th rounders. Which maybe down the line some of these guys pay off, I don't know. But it just seemed like out of a 15-box case, which I guess could still be considered a small sample size, not one box paid for the box. And they brought back 3 designs that I just really don't like. I don't like the manufactured name auto. I don't like the rated rookie-looking auto. I think those have all been done. From 2010, that was like Rookies and Stars 2010 had those designs. The gridiron field look is not bad, but still kind of tired. Dan, I mean, I don't know if I said it all. What are your thoughts on Prominence?
Panini had a real opportunity here to, you know, take over the football releases that have happened so far. Dude, Topps has been on fire. Topps has done well.
Yeah.
But right before Prominence, Topps released Platinum, and I felt that was a dog. That was a dog product.
Yeah.
This was the next release after Platinum Panini could have really taken back some of that market share and gained some of that momentum in this football season and start releasing some better products and start getting some buzz on their upcoming products. Because now, because prominence, I think, was so poor, I think people are hesitant to really look towards and look towards certified. I think now everybody's kind of skeptical about what am I going to expect from certified. These releases were so close together. This one was a dog. Could this one be any better, or is it going to be a slight step up? I mean, 90. I think the wholesale was somewhere in like the $90 range. I think, like you said, it's selling for like 120.
Right.
I think you're going to see boxes at like 40, 50 bucks.
Right.
And at that point,
it's going to be like timeless treasures.
At that point, it's not a bad value. You get a box for 50 bucks. That's not bad. But at $90 to $120, that's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow. I don't know. I really hope certified is going to be good.
Yeah, and from even the base design was almost a carbon copy of Momentum. It's a white background base card. They added
like
more base
Momentum
here. It looked just like Momentum, which I thought Momentum was a step up, but now that Prominence copied it, I already hate the base design. I already am tired of looking at it. I don't know what we can do to bring value to base cards and products like these, because they're pointless at this point. People don't collect base sets from these mid-level products. They don't. They don't build sets of these. So there's really no point to put base cards in there. They did put
I think the prominence base set is fairly large too. I want to say it's like 200 cards, 150 cards.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, it's a pretty substantial base set. I don't know.
I don't get what their thought process was on it. Like I said, they kind of regurgitated a bunch of their older designs that they don't use in other products anymore, like the pullout card. I'm assuming Gridiron's not going to happen this year, and if they do, they're not going to have the pullout card. So that was in there. The rated rookie design was in there. That was normally in Rookies and Stars. That's in there. The field autos are in there from Rookies and Stars. The nameplate autos that were originally, I think, at Epics, that kind of moved on to Prominence last year, those are in there. So there's really no new designs of hits. The rubber helmets are back. That was like originally in Prestige. Those are in there. So it's kind of like an anthology of already crappy products put into one.
Yeah, no
one face card in the set design-wise that people are going after.
Yeah, and you can probably see that with the secondary market right now. I can't see a lot of these cards selling for a lot of money. I think people are still high on Finest. Finest football is really solid. And I know it's only two hits per box. One hit per mini, but seems like they put a lot of color in there, and that's been, in my opinion, the strongest football release this year. And we'll see tomorrow with certified. We'll see if Panini takes a step up and joins the party.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out. I just did an eBay search. The highest listing that sold was a 4-box lot that sold for $224. So that was based on bids. That was the highest bid. If you type in 2013 Prominence, the highest one is a 4-box lot that sold for $224. So
that's
$70 a box.
That's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough.
Quentin Patton 101 flag. It's apparently the 101 design is a flag. That sold for $111. That's a 101 Quentin Patton, which in Finest would have sold for $500. Eddie Lacy, one of the main hits in the set, rookie class letter auto rookie card. Now these are manufactured letters, And number 36 of 100 sold for $66. And that's a case hit.
Yep.
That's a case hit.
Yep.
So that's Tavon Austin, number 102, rated rookie, sold for 55. EJ Manuel pullout sold for 54. Tavon Austin pullout 47. So there's some really, I mean, maybe not all this stuff has been open. I know there's some dual autos with Luck and stuff that I'm not seeing here. But it just doesn't translate. I mean, basically you're going to get burned on every box. I mean, you can't even gamble at this point because even if you get the case hit of the box, you're still going to lose money. I mean, that just sucks. I mean, that's not what it's about. They need to figure it out and hopefully certify it adds some value. I know they have some Barry Sanders patches and stuff, so I'm hopeful for certified. I will say that. But they released three products tomorrow, which when I looked at the calendar, I was thinking, okay, well, they're going to probably move one of these back. No, they're all coming out tomorrow. And I mean, they're all different sports, so maybe they're, you know, maybe that's fine. But it's Prism Baseball 2013 edition, Intrigue Basketball, which is a new set for them, and Certified all comes out tomorrow. So, you know, I don't know how well these will do. Basketball seems to do well. We'll see how Intrigue does. I mean, there's some cool-looking designs. There's some dual patches and stuff like that. It looks kind of cool. Prism Baseball's checklist got bigger, which is good. They've added some more colored refractors in it. You know, and Certified, you know, we'll see. I mean, when is too many products too, you know, when is three products too many? Or how many products have they released already too much this year? You know, that's the point of what I'm trying to say. Like, you got to kind of limit stuff and kind of maybe spread these things out a little bit more. A dealer that went all in, a card shop that went all in on Prominence, maybe saw the sell sheet and thought, oh, man, it's going to be great, and ordered two cases of it. Maybe he sold three boxes already, and he's got, you know, 27 boxes still on his shelf, and now Certified comes out. He ain't going to sell. He's not going to sell any Prominence.
You can sell it for $60 a box.
Right, but so you're going to lose $30 a week in?
What else do? You hold on to it? You hold on to it and just tie up that money so you can't reinvest it into something that you're going to be able to sell and make a profit on?
At $60, you might as well open it and sell the singles.
You just said that it's going to be impossible to get $50 back.
Yeah, hope for Lacey that's $60 and then something else for $20. You're right. What do you do?
I mean, at that point, selling it and losing $30 on a box may be your best action.
Yeah, and if you guys want to call in, that sucks
a week in. That's tough. That's hard to deal with.
I mean, usually you at least have some chase cards that people are like, you know, oh, the one-on-one's been pulled, or oh, you know, we're still chasing this. There's never any of that buzz with this product. But I did want to say, if anybody wants to weigh in or have any opinions on any products or any questions for us, feel free to call in at 347-855-8815. You know, we don't do enough where we have you guys call in and, you know, maybe you guys see something we don't see or have some different opinions that we'd love to have on the show to have another opinion. So feel free to call in and weigh in on something. 347-855-8815. But back to Panini, yeah. I love those guys, and I normally love their products, but I really felt like they had either an intern work on this product or it was an afterthought with all the other releases they were working on.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. It's weird. It's weird that they are, I mean, Certified and Prominence are coming out. They don't usually, they usually stagger them out a little bit better than that.
Yeah.
They may have these slated release dates, but they usually do stagger them out to where you got to give the shop at least a month to go through product before you release another product by the same manufacturer. You're not giving the local card shops a chance to be able to to move this. Or it could have had to do with the pre-sale numbers were so low that they were like, whatever, let's just move on. Let's make sure we have another product coming out.
Maybe they just figured.
I mean, we do know for a fact that distributors' pre-order numbers were very low.
Yes.
And usually that is an indication that there's not going to be a huge print run of this product, but I think there's a lot of it. And I think you're going to see a lot of it for a long time.
And here's where the industry side of this whole thing sucks, because people that want to get the NTs of the world, people that want to get the Flawlesses or what you may, or the Immaculates, they look at what you order to this stuff. So as a card shop or anything, and Panini, you really don't save any money by going direct. So there's really no incentive to not deal with the distributors. So 95% of the people out there, I'm pretty sure, buy from a distributor of Panini products. So, I mean, they're telling us, I'll be honest, we buy from three or four distributors. Flawless is coming up for pre-order. And Flawless Basketball, we talked about it last week, is going to be a $1,200 retail product. There's already so much demand for this Flawless Basketball product that people are already trying to pay $1,000 more per case on it. That's how much of a demand for this Flawless product is. Well, in order to get Flawless, they go back and go, well, you know, you really didn't order any Prestige Basketball. You really didn't order that much Elite. So we really can't give you that much Flawless because you didn't take that much Panini Basketball from us. And the same thing goes with NT Football. We all know NT Football is going to be good. We all know NT Football is going to go up in value. But they're going to say, oh, well, you know, you didn't order any comments. So that's what's on these local card stores' minds. That's what's on us Group Breakers' minds. We've got to take every single product. So we have to, quote, unquote, eat shit to get the good product. It's just a very slippery slope, I mean, that you have to play. And you have to – now, I mean, is it worth ordering a case and losing money on province so that you can make $100 more dollars on NT? I don't know. You got to weigh out the risk-reward, I guess.
Yep. It's a tricky game.
So,
I mean, that's not saying that, like, this. I'm not saying prominence will not go up. I mean, I think it's going to go down. It's probably going to hit. It's the bottom is probably going to be in like the 50 to 60 range per box.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if certain rookies like really start taking off, you're going to see this older product start to, you know, start to move again and gets back up to 70, 75. I mean, we saw it with a lot of products last year. We saw a lot of products that came out, didn't do well, kind of devalued a little bit, and then they started, you know, picking up momentum again and getting back up to what the original wholesale price was. And
right.
Sometimes
and
a little bit over.
Maybe, yeah, and one could hope, and that's the positive of this industry. And you know, look at last year, Alfred Morris was like in momentum, and when it first came out, no one knew who he was, and then it turns out he wasn't really in any Topps products, and Panini had him in momentum and some of the other earlier products like Rookies and Stars, so it added some extra value. So maybe there's a guy in there. Maybe there's a seventh-round guy that next week he has like four touchdowns or something.
You
and
never know. Something like that could drive up the value of a product, so...
We'll definitely only time will tell on that. I did want to mention how much I'm loving the 2011 rookie class, and people may disagree with me on this, but I think the 2011 rookie class is better than the 2012 rookie class. You have guys stepping up this year. Jordan Cameron's in that set. Julius Thomas is in that set. Not to mention your staple names of Kaepernick, Newton, A.J. Green, Julio, J.J. Watt, DeMarco Murray, Randall Cobb, Jake Locker, Christian Ponder. There's like 9 or 10 marquee names coming out of that rookie class 2 years later. And now there's guys that are stepping up, like I said, Jordan Cameron, Julius Thomas. Cecil Shorts is in that rookie class. So I think that's a far – you may not get your Andrew Luck money on a Newton or an A.J. Green.
Torrey Smith is in there as well. That's a heck of a draft class, and that was it's funky because it was that was the year of the lockout, and there was products that came out, and there was no logos on like, I would say, what, the first three or four products that came out, because they really didn't know where these guys were going. These cars are produced before the draft, and I remember there was just being, like, funkiness, and all those products were, like, tanky. Remember, like, Rising Rookies or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
That product was a one and done. That product flopped. But that was a tough year. You couldn't sell anything at that point. And, you look at it now, and you're like, that's probably one of the strongest rookie classes I can remember.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I actually was going through some of our older videos on my hard drive here, because I had a bunch of unnamed videos, and I found us breaking 2011 Prestige, and we were at your house breaking it, and we pulled a Randall Cobb auto with a shield on it, and we're like, oh, we don't even know what team he's on. We're like, oh, crap, like, we'll have to look that one up. It's like Randall Cobb, you know, now it's like, somebody watches that video, like, right now, they're like, these guys are morons. But it, like, had no teams on it, you know? Like, it's funny when people comment on your YouTube video, like, that, like, know the quest that you had when it happened. And they're like, oh, you're just a moron. That's an easy one. That was Green Bay. You just suck. Like, well, back 3 years ago, no one knew who he was. So, if you ever want to get ripped hardcore, put out your YouTube video. Because people are not afraid to tell you that your face looks like crap, that your voice sound like a card, you know, you need to cut your fingernails, you know, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to handle your car. I mean, Jesus Christ. You ever want to get, like, extremely criticized, make a YouTube video, put it out there, and just have people watch it. You get some extremely honest people.
Open hockey, and then it'll even
hockey.
Get any better. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I know all about getting destroyed on YouTube opening up hockey products. I have been literally just blasted. I'm like, damn. I'm like, that's tough. But I've sat there and watched, because we get email notifications when people like comment on our YouTube videos. And I've seen, like, a guy go through and probably watch, I don't know, what, 20, 30 videos in a night and just comment on every single one of them. And it's like, some comments are like, oh, man, you guys really know what you're doing about handling cards. And the next comment, the guy's like, get your fingers off the cards. It's like,
<"Really?"> It's the same guy.
It's the same guy.
Relax, man.
But I'm like, yeah, you know, it's fun. I mean, people
it's
are...
It's hilarious that they have all the time to sit there and watch your entire video of, you know... I mean, I can understand watching maybe, like, one case break. Oh, I like that talk. I'll watch it. These guys will watch, like, five or six case breaks of, like, us talking. And, I mean, if you don't have anything writing on it, if you don't have a team in the break or something, it can only be so exciting. I mean, come on. I mean, you could find... Look at watch Miley Cyrus's twerk video. That's got to be more exciting than me opening up cards. I mean, come on.
I think what it comes down to though, it's you know, guys watch to see what's in the product, because they're like, oh, I'm gonna go to my card shop here in like a week, and I'm gonna check out and see what these cards look like, and if anybody's pulling anything big. I mean, I think that's what the people are really watching the video for. Just a little preview of what to expect when they go to open up something, or if they have like $150, they're looking to buy a box somewhere, buy it on eBay or something like that. They get like an idea of what to expect. So I hope that's why people are watching the videos, so they can rip on people.
So you're saying that people watch videos to see what kind of cards come out of boxes? Maybe we should cut the snippet and send it to Upper Deck.
It's entertainment. It's entertainment as well. That's
yeah,
what it is.
I mean, well, if we're doing a case, it is a 2-hour commercial for a manufacturer who's making a product that you can go out and purchase. So it's literally a 2-hour commercial for this specific product. That is the one thing that drives me crazy about Upper Deck is how they still don't want to jump on board with this. I'm like, don't you want all these group breakers and all these case breakers to give you like a 2-hour commercial? Like, I mean, for free? Not only for free, but they're still buying your product? So you're still making a profit?
It's all coming to light. You know what? It's all coming to light now. We all know that who sells the most Upper Deck products? DA Card World. They started this may be some promotion for them here. They started a group break portion on their website. So now Upper Deck has a certified case breaker thing going into play.
Yeah.
And I've heard rumblings that this big entity wants to do some breaks from the summit floor. So that could be why this was kind of pushed out. Is they're going to be like, we're going to break your products, but we want to protect ourselves from breaking your products.
That's
they're
a good
point.
They're
trying to find an angle.
If they if they're the only ones doing case breaks, and you got to get certified, and you got to do all your things and figure out if you can do it or not. Maybe they are protecting somebody. I see that, and
there's some other guys up north that do strictly hockey and do a lot of their product too. So they're protecting their margins, which I could see, and give lose sleep over not doing Upper Deck. The reason we keep talking about it is because I just question the business ethics of it. That's all.
Yeah,
I would say we get out of 800 emails about product requests, 3 of them are Upper Deck in the whole year. Oh, are you?
And I would say,
yeah.
And those are very rarely like current products.
Right.
It's always like older products.
Right.
So
if,
any, yeah,
if
I don't
anything,
know.
I think they should be more bending over for people. Everybody that's doing, anybody that's out there that does breaks has been established, that has a site that's been doing it for years, that they can see that has, over 100 videos on YouTube, that there's no negative feedback on their Twitter or their Facebook. So what's the problem with selling them? Under the understanding that they're not going to sell the box. That's what's beyond me. I mean, it's a sinking ship for them, and they need to figure it out, but they're not. They're basically putting these crazy standards out there. So,
I would if I were in your guys' position, I would look to, and this is maybe why I'm kind of a jerk. I would look to kind of punish Upper Deck for that stance every opportunity that I got. The fact that they're letting DA Carwell, I think the other guy, Clauston Chara, is a big kind of hockey guy, and he has a card store, and I could see him. I think there were guys back in the day that were accusing Clauston Chara, the guy that were the ones that they canceled the rookie card last year, that they were in on the meeting with Panini, the NHLPA, and it was Clauston Chara and a few other guys, big hockey guys, who all decided, no, let's don't do rookies this year and make sure we'll do a double rookie class the next year. So I would at every moment, and especially at the Las Vegas thing, when these guys like to prance up there and they never answer any hard questions, punish these guys at every opportunity. Tell them that their products suck. Tell them that nobody wants it. Tell them, yeah, I'd break it, but your products are really weak. You don't have a license. You've got old employees of yours saying that they were afraid they weren't going to get a check toward the end of their employment at Upper Deck. You've lost the NFL. You lost the MLB. You lost your owner of your company. On and on down the line. I would take every opportunity to rip them and kind of blast them. I know you guys aren't really going to do that. Maybe I will, because it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense that they're doing this. They're a company that's dying anyways. That's lost a tremendous amount of market share when they were right up there with Tops, but, you know, less than 10 years ago. And now with the way
right.
they are. It's an absolute joke. It's an absolute joke. Hockey cards, please. Are you kidding me? Like, who gives a crap about that? They probably make more on some of their entertainment side
and some of the licenses they have over there and some of the connections they have over there. They counterfeited, their owner of the company counterfeited Yu-Gi-Oh cards and sold them out the back door. They backdoored 89 Upper Deck Griffey cards. It's a joke. The company's a joke. They had to foreclose, I think, on their Sea Otter place, their 55 Sea Otter place or whatever. They just abandoned it and left kind of in the middle of the night and stuff. I actually have pictures of when they closed the office. A bunch of employees took pictures. One of them sent me a bunch of pictures of that last day at the Upper Deck office of it all, like, cleared out. And big old Spider-Man things in the trash and all this kind of stuff. And it's a joke of the company. And the fact that they're only letting a few people, their little butt buddies, kind of get involved in some of this group breaking, I would blast them unmercifully, like, just roast them every opportunity I got. And maybe that'll happen. Maybe that'll happen at some point. I think the industry could use that. I was watching. Sorry to go off on a little long tangent here, but I was watching.
No, I like it.
It was in San Francisco. It was called the TechCrunch Disrupt or something. Okay, it was in San Francisco. It was last week, and the CEO of Yahoo, I believe her name is like Marissa Myers or something, and the owner, CEO, founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, got up and did a 30-minute interview. And the guy doing the interview, talking to Mark Zuckerberg, didn't give a fuck about, didn't care about asking Mark Zuckerberg any question. Hey, what do you think of the new Yahoo logo? Don't you think it sucks? You know, he told that to the Yahoo CEO. He's like, man, your logo just sucks. Like, this is no good. Like, what were you thinking? Like, and he's talking to a woman who probably makes like $60 million a year. Like, the guy literally didn't care. He'd ask these guys anything. He told the Facebook guy, he's like, dude, your mobile products were horrible a year ago. What happened? Now they're really good. You know, tell me what happened. How did it happen? What did you guys do? We need something like that in the sports card industry. The Vegas thing is an absolute joke, the Vegas Summit thing, because the guy organizing it who's I don't know. He thinks I'm an idiot. I actually think he's an idiot. He doesn't allow for hard questions. The second you raise your hand and you want to pose a question like this, he'd be like, oh, no, because he needs Upper Deck to pay the money to get there. He needs D.A. Caldwell to pay to go there. He needs all these guys to pay him the money to go there. So he doesn't allow for these tough questions. That's the exact type of thing we need in this industry. We need people to ask Panini, what the hell's up with prominence? Why are you coming out with these products like all the time that are crap? And then come out with certified them all? Is it going to be as bad as prominence? Like, these are the type of questions that should be answered, but if you ask them on Twitter or you go post it on their Facebook page, you're a hater or you're just a jerk or whatever, and oh, my God, like, you're ruffling feathers in the baseball, in the sports card community. Like, fuck that. We should be questioning these guys' decisions, their sets, their market, everything, all a step along the way. How much money have you guys spent on cards? Like, a ridiculous amount this year. Ridiculous amount. Your business is tied to cards. And the fact that we never really get to question these guys, or that the fact that, you know, oh, if you raise issues, oh, you're a hater, or oh, you're this, you're that. Trust me, I know this for a fact. A lot of people who are not even going to give me the time of day in this industry, and they think I'm a jerk because I raise these issues. And they think for some reason that this, you know, gets me some kind of hits on my website, get me all this money and stuff. Like, hell no. You think it's, fuck no. So there needs to be more questioning, like, in this industry, like, way more, like, questioning and talking to these guys. These guys need to be front and center answering these questions. Because DA Car World, fuck them. Fuck them. Fuck them. They're online retailers. Everybody was hating them 10 years ago. Everybody was against them. And Blowout and DA, and they called them, what was the Dave and Buster's. That's what hobby shop owners would call these guys. Oh, Dave and Buster's. They're ruining everything for us. And on and down the line. They joke around with DA Car. Fuck them. They shouldn't be able to break boxes. Why don't you open it up to a few people or do some research? Upper Deck fucking sucks because they're doing this. It's really a big mistake.
You know, and it's money talks, basically, and I think that's, you know, they're taking, obviously, buying a large portion of their stock, so that's what they're doing. But, I mean, ultimately, I think it's going to be a failed business attempt for them of getting their name out there, because if more of us guys are allowed to pre-order Upper Deck product and we all put in more pre-orders, the price raises up on Upper Deck products. I mean, that's the bottom line. So I don't know why. They're looking at it. Their business strategy, from what I could see, is let's keep, you know, only 100 guys or 200 or whatever the number may need. You know, they want to keep these guys' margins high. So unlike Panini, where you're going to make $20 a box, Upper Deck guys buy Exquisite for $250 and they can sell it for $400 and their margins are high. So that's what they're trying to protect. But, you know, if more people buy it and we keep the margins the same, is it going to be the same effect? I don't know.
I went and picked up GTA last night at midnight. The line was around the damn corner for the thing. There was so much hype. They had hot dog stands. There was a taco truck. There were guys selling, you know, trying to make money out there. And I was standing there thinking to myself, there is not even anything even remotely close to the anticipation for a video game like GTA or Madden in the sports card world. Not the national convention, not a set coming out, nothing. Nothing. Like, there's nothing that's even close. Back in the day when it was hot, they'd come out with one set and sell it like all year. Now they're coming out. It's like not even happens. It's like 10% as popular as it used to be. Like it's a 90% shrunken market. Like it's boom. Like the industry is shrunk by like 90%, but they're coming out with like 20 times more product, 30 times more product than they were. It's so stupid.
Yep.
Like it's so dumb. Come out with one set and concentrate on it. They don't come out with GTA every year. They come out with GTA like once every 5 years. I know you can't do that with sports cards. You could do something similar with Madden. They come out with Madden every year. Now, the quality of that game has really dropped over the years, to be perfectly honest. I think the quality and the attention to detail that they have in that game, while the technology of the game itself has improved and the graphics and all the stuff you see visually, I actually think the quality of that game has gone down a little bit. EA Sports is kind of like they're a little bit like Topps in a way. That they don't, they're more concerned about just their brand image and just, you know, they know Madden is going to sell and they're more concerned about keeping that exclusive license with the NFL and they'll pay whatever it takes for that, knowing that they could put out a subpar product. What, Take-Two, who makes Grand Theft, if the makers of Grand Theft Auto were allowed to make an NFL football game, oh my God, it would blow away what EA Sports does. Trust me on that too. I'm really... They have better designers, they spend more money, they blow more money on it, like literally. It would be a better game. I don't know why why is Prominent has come out and now certified. And then, oh, you could buy Prism Baseball and this Intrigue Basketball. So dumb. They should really focus, we've talked about this thousands of times, it feels like, focus in on like five sets. Yes, you're going to be a smaller company. Yes, you might only have like five people working there. It's going to be a much smaller business. But there could be a real anticipation, like there is in the Magic the Gathering community.
Yeah.
Not even talking about video games. But when a Magic the Gathering set comes out, they actually legitimately have release parties. And I've heard of card stores that stay open at midnight, and they get exclusive packs to hand out and stuff. You guys could be doing like midnight break parties or something where you're getting exclusive stuff. Like that's the way it should be. There should be excitement for every single set, even if it maybe would suck. But something like Prominence, it just comes out and nobody gives a crap about it. And then, oh, Certified comes out. And then, oh, it'll be something else the next week. It's just way too much to – there's no excitement. There's no hype. There's no, like, buzz about it. It's just, oh, here's another set. Comes out. Here's the checklist. Done. We're done. You know, oh, wait for the next one.
And cruise control is a good word that Trevor mentioned in the chat. It seems like they are on cruise control. And, you know, I almost feel like we're always ripping. And I try to pick out the good things. And, you know, I wish I could talk more about good things. I just want things to change. And maybe obviously we're all just peons and we don't know, you know, all we have is our opinions. But we're all passionate about this hobby, and there's just things that you know, just become, they're just recycled regardless. There's nothing, there's no press anymore. I mean, Panini does their little videos. Topps doesn't do anything. Topps doesn't promote any of their products. But they have to still keep themselves
there. I would like to know, I would like to know real quick, I mean, what, how much money was profited on Prominence to justify keeping it around and having a release date of the same sport coming out the following week? I mean, they had to make enough money to justify it. I mean, I hope they didn't lose money on the deal. You cannot do multiple releases in a month for the same sport. You can't do it. These companies need to realize you cannot do it. And it gets back to the story about a card shop who they say he was like, I'm going to go big on Prominence. I have a good feeling about it. I'm going to get two cases. And now a week later, the best he can do is lose $30 on every box. That's the best thing he can do right now. Because Certified is coming out literally 7 days after Prominence. And it's not like it's a completely different price point. It's not like Prominence was like the equivalent of Triple Play, and it was like a kid said it was like a $30 box, and Certified is like a $300 box. Completely different markets. No, it's 120 box and a $100 box. It's like literally going after the same exact market share as Prominence, Certified and Prominence. Same person who has money to buy Prominence has.
I was going to say fast forward to October 2nd, which is 2 weeks away, Playbook comes out.
So now you're looking at another set that comes out that's kind of in the same $100 to $200 price point.
Yes.
But it is a different type of set. It's not a set builder set. You're not looking for parallels, you're looking for hits. It's four hits. As long as they kept the configuration the same way. Four packs, probably either $1 or $2, and then a relic and an auto. And that's all it is. I think that is still at least going after a different market. I think Prominence and Certified are going after the same person.
Yep, I agree.
And it's a week, and they give you a week to decide. I mean, I that's why I get back. I'm like, it couldn't have been profitable for them to make Prominence. Based on the pre-sale numbers and how much money it would take to, you know, they wasted inventory, sticker inventory, they wasted relic inventory. It's not free to print cards.
There's no jerseys.
Not free to package them. Oh, that's right. It is all manufactured. So yeah, you're right. They did save money on the relics, but the packaging's not free. Shipping everything to distributors isn't free. Paying for a guy to put the boxes in a case to ship them out and print up labels isn't free. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know if this is a profitable. Release for them, and if that keeps on happening, then we know what's going to happen at the end. They're going to basically go under and get bought by somebody else.
Well, let's just change the subject to, well, not change the subject, but let's we do the Certified review, and we come out and we say it's freaking awesome. That's what I hope. I always try to think of the glass being half full, and I give them the benefit of the doubt here. After three or four bad releases, I'm starting to think the glass is half empty. But I hope that we can come back next week and say, you know what, Certified was a winner, and it's awesome. Prism was great. Prism so far, I mean, I looked at the checklist, and it looks better, deeper. There's 90 guys on the checklist. Before we go, I did want to preview a little Panini Prism Baseball, because we all know Panini doesn't have a license. So the products they put out besides National Treasures, all their baseball products are already kind of hardcore baseball collectors kind of turn away from Panini baseball products. Prism caught a little buzz last year, but the golds weren't selling like basketball, like football and stuff like that. So, but this year they're putting it out again, and it hasn't even been a full calendar year since they released 2012. It's about 5 months, I believe. So they're kind of getting – what their thought process was is they're getting back on schedule. They kind of pushed it out last year. But the autograph checklist I see, there's 90 guys. There's Henry Rodriguez, Adini Hechavarria, Rizzo, Aramis Ramirez, Abisail Garcia, Chris Sale, J.J. Hardy, Darren Ruff, Dylan Bundy, Ike Davis, Jay Bruce, Joe Nathan, Jerkson Profar is in there, which is good. Mike Olt is in there. There's a lot of no-name guys that, you know, well, Chris Medlin's on the name. Pete Cosma. Sergio Romo will have an auto in this, which I believe is his first auto, so that's cool. Shelby Miller is in here. Tony Cingrani, Trevor Bauer, Sean Marshall. Steven Strasburg's in here, who is now a Panini exclusive guy. Cal Ripken has autos. Frank Thomas has autos. Mike Piazza has autos. Paul O'Neill, Carl Crawford, Ryan Sandberg, Pedro Rodriguez, Mariano Rivera, Andre Ethier, Mike Trout, Gary Sheffield, David Wright, Roger Clemens, Craig Biggio, Manny Machado, Billy Hamilton, Oscar Tavares, Will Myers. That sounds like a pretty good checklist.
You know what they did? You know what? And this is how they got Roger Clemens in there. And this is how a company could really think outside the box. Because of the steroids, it seems like Topps is kind of turned away from any of those guys. And I've talked about it before. The Clemens, I'm not even going to say Albert Bell, because Albert Bell's in everything. But Roger Clemens, yeah. Sosa, McGuire. Yeah, I remember Albert Bell as a kid, a good hitter, had a little bit of rage. But why is that guy in a bunch of products? I mean, is his auto that cheap? That guy has been.
He probably needs money, and his agent is out there just trying to get money,
But I mean, dude, it's been like 8 or 9 products in a row that you can get an Albert Bell auto, which is random because he fits under. I look at him as a steroid guy. But he doesn't have the same stigma as a Roger Clemens and a Sosa, McGuire, Luis Gonzalez.
Well,
Steve Finley.
You know what happens? They call. I mean, they call him up, or he's calling them, and it's just like one of these.
Showtime up.
So he's just signing. We haven't used it in a while. He's signing because that's all he has. I mean, he's probably paid a little bit more than the 80s guys, but he probably doesn't have that much money anymore.
Is that a shoot came up from Topps camp, or that's a shoot came up from Albert Bell camp?
That's Albert Bell. Like, I need the money, you know, type thing.
Because I thought it was like maybe a shoot came up 15 cents an auto. We're going to sign $500,000.
He hasn't ever really been a redemption. Have you noticed that? I haven't pulled any redemptions of him. He's on it. He's signing.
No, I mean, he's really got nothing else to do at this point, right?
Pretty much. Well, I think that pretty much sums up the show.
I do like the fact that Roger Clemens is in that set. That's a good job.
McGuire, and I think they can get Bonds for the right price. I think they have a little niche they can get in. I agree. So.
They should put Bonds. You can get some Bobby Estelaia in there. Get some Marvin Bedard.
Speaking of juice.
Just wanted to do it all steroid set. All steroid era.
Proof? Hey, no. Bobby Estelaia is proof that you could take all the juice you want and it ain't gonna mean you're gonna hit a baseball. Like, that's for damn sure. You can have the best body in the world. It don't mean you're going to have the hand-eye coordination to hit a baseball. So, I mean, that guy was as ripped as it got. I mean, they didn't even have a uniform, I think, that fit that guy. That guy was just that guy was so ripped. I just remember every time he came up to the plate, I was like, dude, there's no way you get that big naturally. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, unless you're working out, 24 hours a day, just 7 days a week, and you never get hurt and you never get tired. Like, I mean, that guy was huge. That guy was massive, and he sucked. He, couldn't hit a baseball, at all.
That's right. I mean, he was a career, 215 hitter.
Yeah.
And at one point he went to Coors Field and he still couldn't hit.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get the strongest guy in baseball, you put him in the home run hitter's ballpark, and he still can't hit home runs. That is a good point, Ryan. Steroids can't make you a great baseball player.
Nope. No, or I take them. Shit, I would take them and get $80 million contract. That's the thing. There's so much money involved. I think people are irrational to think that they wouldn't cheat or do something. I think we should be harder on somebody like Ryan Braun than we are on Barry Bonds. Because as you mentioned, Doug, while it was legal in the sense of the law, baseball wasn't testing for drugs, steroids back in those days. It's kind of a newer kind of thing. I was taking creatine when I was in high school. I was 16 years old taking creatine. I buffed up 15 pounds in 2 weeks, and I was in high school. I could only imagine if I was trying to compete to be an athlete and I was competing for contracts and endorsement and money and just fame and all that, I would take whatever it could to give me an edge. These guys are really competitive. Look at coaches. Look at Jim Harbaugh. These guys are crazy, crazy. Somebody like Nick Saban, these guys will do anything to win, it seems like. They'll cut your throat to win. So I don't think we should condemn players for, trying to do what it takes. It's on the league to put testing in place and spend their billions and billions of dollars getting the right testing in place. If you got to test these guys every day, do it. Do it. You guys literally make enough money to probably do it. Test these guys every day.
But they don't. At the end of the day, baseball, they want to turn a blind eye. They don't want to know that these guys are taking steroids.
Right.
They just want to. They really want to protect because it's bad press. It's bad for baseball if all these guys. If there's 10 guys on every team that are juicing. That's even if they're catching them, it's the last thing that baseball wants.
Right.
Of course, they'll pick a guy out of every once in a while. They'll pick a guy. I bet baseball gets a lot more dirty tests than we ever know about. I bet they basically pick and choose a guy here and there that they're this is his fifth bad test. We gotta do something.
They had Victor Conti on. I mean, you listened to it with me. They had him on the Joe Rogan show, Victor Conti. He said it's idiocy that these guys are failing the test because they give them three chances to not make it to the piss test. So if they say you have to be there April 17th and you don't show up, then they go, okay, now you have to be there May 30th. And then you don't show up, then you're court ordered to be there. So you have two chances to get clean and then take a piss test. So the fact that these guys are just going in there, I think that it's their ego. Oh, I took something that's undetectable, so I'm going to go pee. They're not going to detect me because I didn't take this stuff. So that's what it is. These guys' egos are getting in the way. Oh, whatever. I'm Ryan Braun. I'll go pee in a cup and I'll pass it.
I think the reason why they singled out Ryan Braun the second time. The reason why they because they had to, and I think they kind of. We're a little pissed off at how that whole ordeal transpired. And I think they're like, you know what? Next time we get a dirty test from you, we're going to show everybody. But you look at the rest of the guys, the Bartolo Colons of the league, the Guillermo Motas. It's like guys who don't put meat in the seats. I mean, nobody's going to an A's game. Now I guess there's people going to an A's game, but nobody's going to an A's game to see Bartolo Colon. Nobody's packing in the Giants stadium to go see Guillermo Mota last year. They're like, oh man, Mota might come out of the pen in the seventh inning. I gotta make sure I get tickets for this game. That's come on.
I know. I guarantee you, if Puig pissed dirty right now, they'd be like, okay, it's cool, it's all right, it's fine, just don't do it.
They'll be like, well, wait for this. But I mean, A-Rod, they threw him under the bus because I think he probably rubbed some guys in Major League Baseball the wrong way.
Plus,
like, the Yankees have that ridiculous contract with him. You think the Yankees are trying to get out of that contract any way they can?
They probably told on him.
They probably did. Yep. They're probably like, oh yeah, we know that he's pissing dirty. Like, well, here's everything we have. Get rid of him. Because they wouldn't be on the hook for the rest of that backloaded contract that they're in. So you don't see guys like I don't know, like the cornerstones of Major League Baseball. You don't see the guys, the Puigs and like the Bryce Harpers and the Josh Hamilton had his trials and tribulations, but you don't see him like pissing dirty. You just don't see a lot of the marquee guys, the guys who draw people into the seats, into the stadium, sell tickets, make people watch on TV, make people go out and buy whatever they're selling during the game. So I think there's some shady stuff that goes on.
Definitely. Well, you know,
this has been 2 hours of like almost a just tangent.
Of steroids. I'm gonna call this when I put it on iTunes. I'm gonna call it the steroid episode.
Which is weird because nobody's really talking about steroids right now.
I know. It's funny. I don't know what got us on the tangent, but you know what? Some people like it. Some people don't. So, you know.
I like talking
Probably more
about
people
it.
Don't
I
like it.
I think it's interesting. I think it's really – I've read books. I've read Canseco's books. I read the books Game of Shadows. I read other stuff. I think it's actually really fascinating and interesting. And I can see why guys – I personally can see why a guy would take steroids, honestly. And I really – you know, I think it's on the league to test them. That's my – you know, I think it's on the league to regulate it. Like, you got to bust these guys. Because they're going to take – they're going to get an edge. There's so much money. Like, Lord have mercy. There's just so much money in the contract. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I could see how people, though, kind of become like, oh, my God, I don't want to hear about this anymore.
You should try to get Canseco on the show.
Oh, that would
He might
great.
Do it.
His book is great.
He might do it.
Yeah. If you pay him.
Do it.
If we paid him, he'd come on.
he might come on for only like $500, though, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, he'd...
Maybe a thou, maybe G. We'll just tell him that people love his baseball cards and want to talk about it. He might just say, oh, there's people that love me. I'll come on.
I bring him on, and I'm like, oh, man, I thought we got Ozzy Canseco on here. Well, I didn't know we got Jose Canseco. get Ozzy Canseco for probably like a 20 spot probably.
Yeah. Another example of steroids don't make you a good baseball player. Like right
exactly. another example that steroids don't make you great.
Yeah. Are they twin brothers? Twin brothers took the same drugs. I'm assuming they took the same drugs, and one was a Hall of Fame type player, and the other one was a minor league player, basically.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And And growing up, because I read Juiced as well, and like growing up, like Jose used to talk about how Ozzy was he was the more talented athlete.
Yeah.
And that it's funny that growing up, like he was always the better star, the better athlete, can do everything better than Jose, and then Jose ends up, he just figured it out at some point. Because
yeah.
he was a hell of a ball player when, like, in his prime. 88, 89, 90, 91. Canseco was a beast.
It was like Bobby Estalea, but, you know, with Barry Bonds' talent. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He was so huge, and he was fast. Like, that's what's crazy, is that he was, like, a linebacker playing football and had incredible hand-eye coordination, and he still does. Like, that's the thing, is he
yeah.
still... Even to this day, he can hit a baseball. An incredible hand-eye coordination, and obviously he's just really strong. So, great
player. You see some of his highlights and some of his home run shots. I mean, that guy had some quick hands for how big he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he would just devour the ball. Just crush it. So...
Well,
that's a lot of talking about Jose Canseco. That's what that is.
That was a good amount of that was the most press Jose Canseco has gotten this year. So, besides besides the rape allegation that he was in the news for a couple months back that actually turned out to be allegedly. So, but I've been doing the dance right now. So I know it's a little TMI. So, but I'm gonna. I'm going to go ahead and mojo break tomorrow. We have some breaks. Got breaks. Got a certified case break. We got a intrigue basketball case break. We got a free kids break, which if you haven't signed up for it, you still have time until tomorrow to do a free kid. It's 14 and under as long as you submit a video. And actually, the details are on our page if you want to read about that. We have a nice NBA Epic Boom random with some NT in it, a Megapalooza baseball with some best of, some NT, and the newly released Prism. So it should be a fun day. And as always, check out sportscardradio.com for any of your checklist needs. If you're thinking about any of the upcoming releases and you want to see what's going on, check the site.
I better get to work on that, then. I don't think I've done crap. Yeah, maybe I should get to work. If anybody needs a job, let me know. Call me.
And I hope next week we come back. And I hope that all three of these products just knock me off of my feet tomorrow. Like, you'll be watching the break on Ustream, and I fall out of my seat. I'm like, saying I love this product, and Dan's giving me a high five, and we're slapping Shane. Like, I hope it's, like, one of those days tomorrow. So hopefully next week we'll come on, and we'll be all happy and...
You say we're going to be slapping Shane?
Yeah. You're like, it's so good, it makes you want to slap your shipper. You know what I'm saying?
It's weird.
I don't know what reference that was from. I think it's so good, it makes you want to slap your mama. So I was like, slap your shipper, you know. So. hopefully he's not listening. I don't think he does anyway. But he's going to come in and say, you say you're going to slap me? That's workers' comp, you know. But anyways... So we'll go ahead and hit the outro. We'll see you guys next week with some happy goodness, hopefully. If not, we'll have product again. So. But once again, check out MojoBrands.com and SportsCardRadio.com, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.